Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, well, mate. 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 372 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. What's going on?
We have Mike Estella in the studio
hey,
as
guys.
Well. And you look who we have here next to me.
We have a treat.
At the microphone.
A special treat.
Oh, my gosh. We have my good pal, Kathy Garver, is in the house. What's up, Kathy? How are you?
Lots of things are up, Carl, and I'm so happy to be here and to see you and Lisa again. Wow.
It's so great to see you. In a little bit, we're going to tune into Suspense and the Jack Benny Program, but we have some time to chat with Kathy Garver. Now, she's best remembered as playing Sissy on Family Affair. We're going to try, maybe we'll take a call or two. So, folks, if you want to talk with Kathy Garver, now is the time to dial in. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We might get to a call or two. Call now to talk with Kathy Garver. So, Kathy, you're in Chicago. You were at a celebrity show. What were you working on earlier?
The Hollywood Chicago show over
oh,
at
nice.
The Hyatt.
Oh, very
Dave
cool.
Eckleby, and it was lots of fun. I love to go to these shows and really meet people because sometimes, you know, you just get so insulated from people. You're working in a movie studio all day or I've written all my books and I have the new one out and you're like at the computer. So to actually get out and see real people and say hello and find out about them, it's really,
oh,
really
yeah.
fun.
It's great. And you know what, too? You have been working, Lisa was saying this earlier, you have been working as an actress and an author and all kinds of other things, but primarily as an actress since you were like 6 or 7 years old?
That's right. That's
and
when
still
I started
now,
professionally.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Tell everyone about your very first big movie role.
Well, the very first, and this was a big role. You might even say it was in an epic movie, and it was an epic movie because it was directed by the epic and wonderful Cecil B. DeMille, and that was
The Ten Commandments.
Right.
Now, you were how old in that movie?
I was in between 7 and 8.
Wow. To be able to work with Cecil B. DeMille. Can you imagine that?
And that's quite an entree into the wonderful world of entertainment. And as a child, you know, you kind of use most of your senses. So I was just absorbing all of the things that were going on around me and seeing the way. Now, he was first directing on this great big crane, and there were so many things around. And he had actually written scenes into the movie for me with Charlton Heston. So I thought always that movies were like this, and there were always camels and oxen and no bears, oh my, but wonderful sights and sounds and people around.
Oh, man. So you went from being in one of the biggest movies of all time. It's aired every year at Easter time. We all have seen The Ten Commandments. Now, you do that movie. Then I know you did a lot of television because I've seen you on, like, Jim Bowie and Gunsmoke and some of these types of shows. And then you audition for a program or a new TV series called Family Affair, right? You get a call from the casting director, or how did that work?
Well, I was at UCLA at the time and in a sorority, and I got a call from my mother. And she had gotten a call from the agent, and she said, well, they're doing this new series, and it's already been sold. They're doing a pilot, and they have everyone cast except for one person, and that's the teenage sister. The only thing is they need a blonde, and you know, honey, you still have that dark hair, right? Yes. So my mother brings over the Streaks and Tips. Now, this was a substance in the 60s that you spray on your hair, and then it instantly turns your hair a different color. So she comes to the sorority, and she's spraying my hair.
She was a good...
she was a good stage
good
mom.
Good stage mom.
I get out of there, though. I don't know how good. I look like something out of Goldfinger. I had this, like, steel helmet.
Goldfinger.
That's the one.
He's a great singer. I told you.
Man, oh, my gosh.
Man with a, well, I'm a big
I'm
James
impressed.
Bond. Big James Bond fan.
Ah, that's that is one song you can sing. Well, I get into the producer's office, and we're chatting, and I thought things were going along well. And he looks at me and says, "What's wrong with your hair?"
I said, gosh,
my
that
hair?
Is so funny.
Yeah, he says, "It's turning green." I said, "Oh, well, it must be the light. You know how Lisa likes the light." I said, "Well, the light must be shining on it, you know, in the wrong way."
Isn't oh, that is hilarious.
Oh, that's really funny, isn't it? Nice, Mr. Producer. But anyway, it lightened up the whole mood, and I did...
See, that helps. Well, a little levity.
Story, that's
We're talking
sure.
with Kathy Garver. We have a caller. Let's talk with our first caller. I think his name is Jim, right? Let's talk with Jim.
Yes.
Hey, Jim. You're on the air with Kathy Garver.
Love Family Affair, and just wanted to know, what was it like working with Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot?
Well, it was an absolute delight, and especially since they had two not only distinct personalities, but two yes. distinct ways of the way that they approached acting. Now, Sebastian, you know, was very proper, and he had to learn every line and say them every, you know, very perfectly, and he would practice them and get them all correct. Brian, on the other hand, would come in. He says, "Hey, what are we doing today?" Look at the thing. He said, I said, "Okay, let's go." And so we would improv most of it. But what it did was make a wonderful dynamic. And then I observed in my own acting life, which has been rather long, to put both of those kinds of acting styles together. So I learn all my lines and then just kind of forget them and go moment to moment.
Right. And so these were like teachers for you. I mean, you had Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot. Oh, my gosh.
And Cecil B. DeMille starting out with him. He wasn't bad in Charlton Heston.
Jim, any other question for Kathy?
They could go on all night.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call,
Jim. Appreciate you. So, Kathy, you have been working literally since the 60s. You have been working steadily, right?
Even before, and but we're not going to talk about that.
In between the acting gigs, you've decided, hey, I'm going to write some books.
That's right. And so the first book I wrote was The Family Affair Cookbook, because I love to cook and I love to eat. And so that was very popular. And then I got a contract to do two books, and I had a deadline. So if you ever want to get anything done, have somebody give you a deadline. And so I did my memoir, which I actually had been working on for about 5 years. And then the next year right after that, I brought out Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? And now, coming May 19th, and one can pre-order them now, is Holiday Recipes for a Family Affair.
Lisa's holding it.
I'm holding the book, and I just want to mention quickly, if you go to KathyGarver.com, that's Kathy with a K, Garver.com, you can check out all the three previous books, and you can see the fourth one that's pre-selling now, not out till May of this year, Holiday Recipes for a Family Affair. There's a beautiful picture of you on the cover in your little red apron in your kitchen. Get a little glimpse of Kathy Garver at home. And we get an idea here in the introduction and through some of the photos that about traditions and how that's always been an important part of your world, not only on television, but in your home, and how food has been a big part of that. So we see that you go month to month here. Tell us how that works, and your co-author, Scott Weaver.
Scott Weaver is a wonderful writer and a director and a home cook. And so we divided the year, and he had 6 months and I had 6 months, and we have menus for each of the wonderful holidays that exist in those months. So I had February, which was such a romantic month of Valentine's Day.
Romance,
wonderful
what's
thing.
That?
Oh, no,
never heard of it.
Carl.
Never heard of it. No.
It's true. He's not the romantic.
Yeah, we're going to find Carl.
I can be.
A
I can
mate.
Be romantic.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I hope so.
Yes, you can.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes,
and
you
as
can.
I'm flipping through it, February, I see this fabulous picture of you enjoying a holiday party and birthday during Family Affair. And we see, we get to relive those memories of Family Affair, because I too was a big fan of Family Affair and appreciated watching you and the whole family.
Thank you. Well, yes. And you, I have peppered my career with many different things. You know, I've recorded over 80 audiobooks and have like 4 Audis. But I started as a child with the classic radio shows.
She was with Betty Davis in Whispering Streets. So we only have another minute. So I want to make sure that the listeners know about your website, because there's not only your 4 books there. You can get a signed photo of Kathy. And
there's
you can get candles.
There's a soy candle. There's a chocolate bar.
There's a chocolate bar.
Caramel, macadamia.
She's gonna send
nuts,
me one.
Sea salt. One.
Yeah.
Or more.
And it's
or
all
more.
Mine. I'll share.
Lisa.
Now, there's some great things at Kathy's website. Do check it out. Go to KathyGarver.com. It's with a K. KathyGarver.com. You can get the books. You can get pictures signed. You can get the book signed to you. And you can get all the other fun stuff.
You know, we just took a photo with Kathy Garver. I will post it on our Facebook page, and I will make sure to note the website so we can remind everybody how to check out everything that's going on with you. You've got vacations. You've got all sorts of things.
A couple of cruises coming up,
you know,
up
what?
Too.
Work never ends. And obviously, work is a passion for you.
We have other people online. I'm sorry we can't get to them.
So I just want to say that clearly you love what you do, and we can appreciate that. And we wish you luck, because we have no idea what will be tomorrow for you. You just keep going and going. So.
Well, thank you. If you love what you do, it's never work.
That's right. So check out our website, KathyGarver.com. Kathy, so great to see you.
Thank you, Carl.
You're such
a lovely
person.
Thanks, Mike.
And we love having you on the air here. All right. When we come back from the break, it's suspense. Stick around. So, Lisa, we had an episode of Suspense called Life Ends at Midnight with Dane Clark. And Mike said, you know, there's some problem spots in it. I don't want to air it. There's a couple little glitches here and there. So we are not going to air that episode. We're going to air another episode. It's called Lily and the Colonel from May 3rd, 1953, stars Ramsey Hill. Here's part one now of Suspense.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the transcribed story of life and death in an African colony. We call it Lily and the Colonel. So now, starring Ramsey Hill and John Alderson with Paula Winslow, here is tonight's suspense play, Lily and the Colonel.
First met Colonel M.O.V. Abernathy at the Rift Valley Club, Kenya Colony, East Africa. Possibly being a Sandhurst man, a lieutenant with the Lancashire Fusiliers had something to do with my invitation into the Hallett Circle. At all events, I was invited and I went.
Sandhurst, eh?
That's right, sir.
Sandhurst? I was Sandhurst myself, 1917.
That's all, sir. Well?
Oh, still turning them out the way they used to.
Well, not knowing how they used to turn them out, I couldn't say, sir.
Capital. At least they turn them out with humor. The only thing that's kept me alive, you know, a sense of humor.
Yes, I can see that.
And now you are here to save us from the Mau Mau.
I'm quite sure you can save yourselves, Colonel.
But of course we could, if it weren't for the bunglers and their, well, their infernal bungling.
The second time I met Colonel Abernathy was under quite different circumstances. My patrol had been called to the farm of one James C. Curry to investigate a murder. On the way, I stopped by Colonel Abernathy's house and brought him along in case identification was needed. On viewing the remains, the colonel decided it was the body of James C. Curry himself lying under the rosebush. Neither of us said a word until we reached his house.
You need a drink.
I could use one, sir.
Good. Ngambi!
Colonel Abernathy. Mr. Back, Warner.
Tell your mistress.
She have blasted a headache. I tell her you'll come back.
Headache. Always having a headache. Oh, sit down, Lieutenant. You'll have your drink in a moment.
Thank you, sir. Incidentally, while your boy is out, may I ask, sir, is he Kikuyu?
Ngambe? No, he's a Juluo. Well, I think his tribe is Juluo. Yes, I'm almost positive.
You're not sure he is Jalulu?
Well, one can't be certain with these boys, you know, but I'll ask him when he comes back.
Miss Abnadi, sir, headache much better. She will come in a moment.
Good. Ngambe, Bwana will have a whiskey.
Yes, Bwana. I will fix it.
Tell you, Temple, that I'm absolutely...
I beg pardon, Colonel. Will you ask...
Yes. Ngambe.
Bwana.
What are you?
Bwana.
Tribe. What tribe do you belong to?
I am Jaluo.
Do the Jaluo have mama? What the devil do you do that for? Don't stand there quaking like an idiot. What do you say?
Mama is only Kipsigi and Kikuyu. I am Jaluo. Jaluo.
Very well. Now give Lieutenant Temple his drink, and then get out.
Yes, Bwana. Your drink, Bwana?
Blasted idiot.
I don't believe him.
You think he's Kikuyu?
I do. And the sooner you're rid of him, the better.
Every head boy a Mau Mau. Is that it? Weak, sir. Weak.
It happened to Curry. Could happen to others.
So you still want to save me?
I'm only here to do what I can, sir. It's my job.
Young man, what happened to Curry needn't happen to me. There are still those who know how to handle this thing, and alone if necessary. In my day, we knew how to keep the wog in his place. Full justice, mind you, but, also this.
That pistol of yours may have seen its day, sir. Times are changing.
Only because men have become too weak to prevent it, sir.
Oh, Julian. Julian! Have you seen Tadigans? I don't know where that cat can be.
It was the colonel's lady. She stood half in shadow in the doorway with something of a smile on her lips. An attractive woman, I thought, in her 40s, but when she came towards us and the light fell on her, I could see that what might have been attractive was only an illusion of powder and rouge, heavily proportioned and badly applied to an aging, unhappy face.
My dear, may I present Mr. Charles Temple?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Please sit down.
As a matter of fact, I was just leaving.
Oh, no. No, please. It isn't often that I have an opportunity to talk to a handsome young man. And from the outside world, too. What happened today, dear? Why did you run out so quickly?
Well, you...
Oh, Julian never tells me anything. I'm always in the dark.
I'm afraid that I'm responsible today, Mrs. Abernathy. I needed his help.
Help?
Mr. Temple will tell you. I'm off to bed. Good night.
Good night, sir. And please think over what I said. Get rid of your boy.
Young man, I like you. But as for your advice, I shall handle my affairs my way. Good night.
Well, Mr. Temple, what was it Julian said you'd tell me?
One of your neighbors was killed today.
Killed? Who?
James Curry.
Jim Curry. Jim Curry. Who'd want to kill Jim Curry? Oh, why? Why?
Mrs. Abernathy, please.
No, I'm quite all right. How did it happen?
Mau Mau.
Mau Mau? There must be a way out. There must be.
Let me get you something.
Oh, yes.
Here, drink this.
Oh, thank you. Ah, it's better. Oh, that's better, much better.
I had to, but I must go now, Mrs. Abernathy.
Oh, please don't. Sit beside me.
Let me call the colonel. He can be with you.
But he can't help me.
More than I can, I'm sure. Now, please, let me... It lay, broken at our feet. A cat, strung up by the neck to a willow branch. Mrs. Abernathy's cat. And outside, somewhere in the dark, beyond the shattered window, were those who had done the thing. It was the Mau Mau.
Okay, a creepy episode of Suspense called Lily and the Colonel from 1953. More of that after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. All right, it is 11:36 here on a Sunday night. We are playing all your favorite classic radio shows, as we do every Saturday and Sunday beginning at 11 p.m. Make sure you mark your calendar, tell a friend. We play your favorite classic radio shows every weekend on the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN. And we're listening to a 1953 broadcast of Suspense called Lily and the Colonel, Terrifying Tale. Let's get back to it now, the conclusion to Suspense.
Probably miles away by now.
I'm afraid so. Wait.
Got him. Come on.
No, do not shoot. No, Juana, no.
Give me a hand. There. Recognize him?
Never seen this one before.
Got him in the stomach. Should get him to a hospital right away. Take him under the shoulder. We'll carry him to the car. Took him to the nearest clinic at Thompson Falls. And all night he hovered between life and death. All night I questioned him vainly and much of the next day. Toward the end, I asked him if he knew he was dying. He rolled his head toward me, and the look in his eyes showed that he knew he was. It was then that all my questions were answered. Name, Matemba, tribe, Kikuyu. Mau Mau? Yes. Family, one brother. And this brother was Colonel Abernathy's head boy in Gumbwe. I went back to the Colonel's house. Lieutenant Temple, ma'am.
Oh, thank goodness you. Come in. Oh, I'm all alone.
Where's the Colonel and the Gumbwe?
They've been gone all day. They left me alone. I've never been so terrified in my
life.
Will
he be back soon?
My tabikins and the shooting. Oh yes, they'll be back soon.
I'll wait for him, then.
He gave me a pistol and said I must carry it with me until he comes back.
That's very wise.
I hate them. They're for killing. Sit down, Mr. Temple. I must look a fright. No makeup and this old gown. You must think I look a fright.
Not at all. You look very well indeed.
Well, thank you, kind sir, she said. May I make you a drink?
No, thank you, Mrs. Abernathy.
Well, I think I shall have one. If I don't look out, I shall become a drunkard. A solitary drunkard.
I'm sure you're much too sensible for that.
Well, Julian doesn't think I'm sensible. He calls me silly. Oh, that'll make me feel much better. You know, you're awfully nice. You're not like the other men. You seem very kind.
I'm not really. Quite the opposite. I beat children the second Tuesday of every month.
Oh, I gather you're married then. Somebody in England?
No, I'm not married. Mrs. Abernathy, I have something to tell you. I thought of waiting for the Colonel, but since you should know about it too,
no,
I...
if it's anything unpleasant, I won't hear it.
It concerns you very directly. You should listen.
No. We shall talk of everything, but not about Kenya or Africa and colonels and poor unhappy natives and everything.
Very well, I'll wait for the colonel.
Oh, now, you've been wounded. The handsome soldier has been wounded on the battlefield of the sexes. Now, here, drink from my glass. Here. Oh, now, not just a sip.
All right, just a sip.
There. Jim Carrey thought I was attractive. Am I attractive, Charles?
Why, yes, yes, of course.
No, I mean to you.
Well, after all, you're a married woman, and well, you know.
No, no. Now, sit quietly and listen. If I told you that you're the handsomest man I know, and if I told you that I was in love with you...
Mrs. Abernathy...
Would you take me away with you? Would you put me in your pocket and take me?
Of course. Right in my pocket.
Oh, I don't feel very well. I think I shall lie down.
Poor old...
Oh, Temple. Oh, I swear I couldn't be here when you came. Where's Lily?
She's not well. I think last night was a bit too much for her. She's resting.
Tell me, what happened to that beggar you shot?
The man died early this afternoon.
Hmm.
I was right about Ngumbui.
What do you mean?
We questioned the native all night. Just before he died, he confessed that he belonged to the Mau Mau.
But what has that to do with Ngumbui?
They're brothers.
Oh. Then he is a Kikuyu after all.
Get rid of him, but quietly. We don't want to aggravate the situation.
A lying devil. Don't worry, I know what to do.
One more thing. I want you to place a light in your front window.
What for?
We shall be patrolling the valley tonight. Have a clear view of your house most of the time. In the event something happens, turn out the light. We'll know then that you're in trouble, and we'll be along in a jiffy.
Right you are.
Well, I must be off now. Goodbye, Colonel. Please be careful with Ngumbui.
Goodbye, Temple.
That's the last I saw of Colonel Abernathy. Now I must piece together the remainder of the story from details related to me by Ngumbui himself. I've thought of it many times, and although Ngumbui was punished for what he did, I cannot in good conscience hold him totally responsible for what went wrong.
Ngumbui!
Yes, Bwana?
Come here.
Bwana?
Ngumbui, you're a liar.
Bwana? What do you mean?
You know very well what I mean. There was a man shot here last night, and he was your brother.
Oh, my brother is on the reserve.
He died here this morning, and he said he was your brother.
My brother died?
Moreover, you belong to the Kikuyu tribe.
Oh, Jaluo.
You would lie to my face, you dog.
No, no. Maybe some Kikuyu, but I good head boy.
I do not tolerate lying by anyone.
Wana, please.
You shall be punished for this. I hope at least you can stand up your medicine.
Medicine?
Put your hands to your side. To your side, I said. Stand straight. That will teach you to lie. Now get your things together and get out. I shall pay you when you leave. I said go.
Bwana, if you hit me with hand closed, it is good. Then I am a man, too. But you hit me with open hand. That make me not a man.
Get out and tell your Mau Mau dogs that if they want the same medicine to come to me, and I'll give it to them. Get out! Dogs. Filthy dogs. I'll shoot all of them, every one of them.
What are you doing, Julian?
Moving the lamp over to the window, obviously.
Oh? What for?
Mr. Temple wants it to remain on all night.
No. Such a lovely young man.
Will you listen to what I'm telling you?
Mr. Temple wants it to remain on all night, I heard. Why?
If for any reason you need Mr. Temple's help, you're to turn it off. He will see it and he will come to you at once.
How nice. Turn it off and he'll come to me at once. Did he really say that?
Yes. Now, another thing. I have dismissed Ngumbui.
I know. I was watching through the door. I saw you strike him bravely, Colonel.
Don't say it that way. It's the only way to make him understand. It's the only way they'd understand who's the master. There's too much mollycoddling with these people.
Oh, is there?
Oh, no matter, no matter. Now, where's your pistol?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Oh, in the name of heaven. I told you to carry it with you at all times. Can't you understand that it's for your own good? Here, take mine. And I expect you to keep it with you all the time. Do you understand?
I don't want it. It's hateful. Everything here is hateful.
Lilith?
I'm leaving. I'm going away, far away. From this house, from Kenya, from you.
You're drunk.
Yes, I am. And I'll have some more.
Stop it, Lilith.
Give me that bottle. Give it.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. You're sorry. You don't know what it is to be sorry. I've been sorry for 25 years. I'm sick. I'm sick for living with you. The way you stand. The way you walk. Parade grounds. Always on parade. Oh, that's right. Run away. Go on. You never talked to me. You never did. You never gave me anything. Anything kind. Anything nice. Well, don't think I want it now because I don't. I don't want it, you hear me? But go on, run away. Go on. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't care. You make me.
Evening, Walnut.
What? Who's there? Who's there? Do you hear me? Bosco! Do you hear me?
Bosco! Do you hear me?
Well, where are you? Ngambi, is that you?
Ngambi, is that me?
I'm armed. Come close and I'll shoot. I can see all of you.
I can see you better. You're not armed. Oh, you forgot.
Blast. Ngambi, now listen to me. I forbid you to do this. You hear? Now, stand out in the open where I can see you. You're a coward, Ngambi, and I don't deal with cowards. If you have grievances, we shall talk them over as men. You hear me?
Today, you hit me. You make me not a man.
You deserved it. Now, stand out in the open where I can see you. Be a man, blast you! Ngambi! I say, come out here!
You cowardly devil!
Julian? Julian? I know you're out there. I mean what I said. I'm going away. Julian? Oh, very well. Don't answer me then. Oh, you're a fool. You could have kept me. If you were kind. I only want kindness. Lieutenant Temple is kind. Oh, yes. How stupid of me. The lights. Julian said that Mr. Temple would come to me if I turned off the lights. Now he'll come to me. Charles Temple? Is that you? You must have been waiting just outside. Oh, it is you. It is. Oh. Oh, you've come for me. Did you come to take me away in your pocket? No.
When I arrived with the patrol, the house was dark. Our men found the colonel lying dead in a thorn bush. I found the colonel's lady, poor unhappy woman, at the screen door to the veranda. There was a strong smell of whiskey about it. Turned my head away.
Suspense, in which Ramsey Hill and John Alderson with Paula Winslow starred in tonight's transcribed presentation of Lily and the Colonel. Be sure to listen next week to Suspense. Is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's script was written by Mr. John Daner. The music was composed by Lucian Morwick and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were Dave Young and Joe Duval.
That's Suspense with Lily and the Colonel, starring Ramsey Hill. A story written by John Daner, the actor John Daner, who was on a lot of Suspense episodes. He also played Paladin on Have Gun, Will Travel on radio. This broadcast from May 3rd, 1953, Suspense. Hope you liked that. We'll be back after these words. All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Every Saturday and Sunday, we're here beginning at 11 p.m. Our producer, Shante Garth, the best in the biz. She's in the booth there doing a tremendous job as always. And in our next hour, Lisa Wolf, we have probably the most famous radio and TV comedian of the golden age of radio and television, Jack Benny. And they are celebrating Don Wilson's 25th anniversary in radio, a 1949 broadcast. A lot of fun. Frank Sinatra actually makes a cameo appearance on the show to talk about his own Lucky Strike show. Now, I don't think we have Lucky Strike commercials or anything talking about Lucky Strike in the show. We have to edit those out. That's a great thing about the Classic Radio Club. If you are a Classic Radio Club member and you get Jack Benny shows, you will get them all complete. Nothing is ever edited out of any of the classic radio shows in the Classic Radio Club. I had the pleasure of talking to one of my members today on the phone, because I tried sending him the digital download and it bounced back. So I called him and we worked it all out. There was something wrong on his end with his computer. And we had this long talk about, he says, you know, I love classic radio shows, and I would sometimes search for them on the internet, on YouTube, or some of the other things. And he says, Carl, the quality is just not good. He's like, that's why I have been such a lover of the Classic Radio Club. Because, you know, Lisa, as you know, we started this club because we have master recordings of these shows, and we want our listeners and our club members to receive the greatest quality classic radio shows. I'm talking about superior sound quality along with the liner notes. So if you want to join the Classic Radio Club, just experience it for even 1 month. It's only a dollar. It only costs $1 the first month, and you can get them on 5 CDs, 10 shows, or you can get those same 10 shows digitally sent to your email. You can listen to them on any listening device.
Right. Well, that's what I always say, is that, you know, you can hear these shows from the 30s and 40s and 50s and you can find them on the internet, but you can't find them in the quality that we do. And what we make them sound like is that as though they were recorded today. And when you hear them, you won't have any indication that these could have been recorded to, you know, all those years ago. So we like to bring it, to make it sound like it was recorded today.
Yeah. And then I pick these shows out of the 100,000 shows I have, and I write very detailed liner notes about them, about their history, and that all comes along with the CDs and also the digital download. So learn all about the Classic Radio Club. We'd love you to become a member. If you like the show, well, I think you'd like being a club member. So check it out. Go to ClassicRadioClub.com. ClassicRadioClub.com. The first month, only $1 for the digital downloads and only $1 for the CDs. You do have to pay $4.99 shipping and handling, though, to send it to you on the CD. But you get 10 shows on 5 CDs in a collector case mailed to your door. All right, in the next hour, it is Jack Benny, so stick around for that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, back to the show. This is the most fun that I have of all week long, Lisa, of all the things that I do with the TV stuff and even the Classic Radio Club, which I love doing the Classic Radio Club, picking the shows and writing.
Grocery shopping at
Woodman's.
Going
to Woodman's, which I did last week, stocked up. This show, I look so forward to Saturday and Sunday.
Well, you get to hang out with me.
I'm telling you, that's a it's a big part of it because
it's
you're a
big
blast.
Deal.
You're a blast. You
it's
make
a big
me laugh.
Deal.
Lisa makes me laugh because she's a funny gal. Funny like how? Like I'm a clown? No, but Lisa's wonderful to work with. She is a blast, and the show is a blast, and I love playing these classic radio shows. And I love talking to our listeners, too.
I'm with you. I feel the same way. And like we were talking to Kathy Garver, when you love what you do, it comes across.
Yeah,
and when
not
you're
work.
Passionate, well, it's a little bit of work. But when you're passionate about when you're passionate about what you do, it changes your outlook, and
yeah.
You you know, have a brighter take on things.
I love being on the air. You know, It reminds me of when I used to, and I've said this before on the air, when I used to be on WGN with Eddie Schwartz. I was a guest many times with Eddie Schwartz, like probably 50 times, right? He would have me on once a month, something like that. And I would play all night long. We'd be on the air all night long and play classic radio shows. And I used to sit across from Eddie Schwartz. Not at this studio. We were at a different. So we were on Bradley Place. The WGN Radio was on Bradley Place at the time. We're talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I used to go there, beautiful studios, and Eddie would be on the air. He'd have all his paraphernalia everywhere. He had all his newspapers. He was a guy who could literally do like 5 things at once, which I admire so much because I can't. I could do one thing only.
Oh, I know.
And I don't do that one thing very well, but I can only do one thing
that.
At a time. I'm not a multitasker. He would have a newspaper. He used to do his bills. He was writing out checks and bills and things. Be on the air talking to people, talking to the fire department. He used to talk to the fire department all the time. And I would be sitting there, and I'd be watching this guy, right? And we were good pals, me and Eddie. We'd go for breakfast afterwards. You know, it was like 5 in the morning. We'd have breakfast. Right. He was such a talented guy. And we would play the classic radio shows, and he loved classic radio. And people would call up from all over the country because, you know, the signal reaches all over. And I used to leave there and driving home, and I'd say to myself, someday I would love, like it would be a dream come true to be on WGN Radio. And I just kept at it. I've been on the radio since 1981. That was my first year on the air, Lisa, 1981. And I kept at it. And you know what? Dreams do come true. They do come true.
Well, you have to work at it too.
Yeah,
but
you do have to work
at
it.
Definitely,
you got to keep your eye on the prize.
True,
right?
But I think our passion for what we do here comes through. So we hope that it does.
1981. How long ago was that? That's a long time ago.
Don't you remember when we first started working together at the other radio station? And early on, when I first started working with you, what did the producer, he called me into the producer booth and I was really inexperienced and I really didn't know, you know, I was really scared. And
yeah, he
called
scolded
me
you.
He did. He called me in and he said he's going to give me some advice.
Yeah, here's some advice.
And he said, when you talk on the air, you shouldn't smile.
Yeah, you have a smile in your voice.
You said,
and that was the whole reason why
me.
I wanted you to be my co-host.
He said, you have a smile in your voice. It smells like you're smiling. You really shouldn't do that. And I'm like,
huh?
Oh, okay. And I knew at that moment, I lost complete respect for him when he said that to me.
That was the whole, one of the reasons why I wanted you to be the co-host, because you do have a smile in your voice.
Well,
and I like your smile in your voice.
Whatever it is, that's my voice, and that's who I am. And I'm not going to pretend
right.
to be somebody else for that.
Right.
Producer, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
that producer. Whoever he was.
All right, in this hour, it's the Jack Benny program from 1949. But first, we're going to play our game, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
The celebrity is Diane Keaton, and we are going to be giving away the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
What caller?
Caller 2, call now. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to do this.
I have a question, though. Am I out of that race, then? Is it between those two ladies?
Sounds like it.
Glenn, I guess. I'm not mayor of Chicago.
I haven't introduced him. We've got Glenn on the phone. Hey, caller number 2, how are you, Glenn?
Hi. So, I just happened to wake up at this time. What luck, huh?
Well, we woke you right up, so we hope
you
stay up for...
It was one of my many get-ups. Okay, go ahead, kid.
Okay. Well, before we start, I want to make sure one thing that we have to clear up. We have to be clear that when I play this game really ridiculous, Carl's not going to argue with me. What I say goes. Got it, Carl? Here we go.
Got it.
Okay, Diane Keaton. That's how we work it here at WGN Radio Theater. Okay, guys, number 1. Diane Keaton won her first Golden Globe for Annie Hall. Is that real or ridiculous, Glenn?
Real.
Carl? It is real.
It is real. All right, see, it all goes well when Carl gets it right. Number 2. Her first major theater role was in the Broadway show Hair, and she refused to go naked. You know,
real.
I agree, real.
Real is correct. No problem. Number 3. Diane Keaton wrote a memoir. It's called Then Again. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It's real.
Oh.
It was so close. You guys were so darn close. But the good news is you were together. You bonded. You agreed. So
that's right.
To that
I'm sticking
end,
with Glenn.
I'm happy that you stick
two
with your listeners.
Hey, if we were baseball players and we got 2 hits out of every 3 at bat,
that
Glenn,
would be great.
Multimillionaires.
There you go. Glenn, you are a big winner. You've won the desktop indoor weather stations brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. Of course, they are the 60-Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. We're going to need some cooling. Hopefully, we'll need some air conditioner soon. So take care. Thank you so much
Thanks,
for being
Glenn.
Number 2.
All right. Big winner. Time now for Jack Benny. Let's go back to October 30th, 1949. Don Wilson celebrating his 25th anniversary in radio. Part 1 of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. The program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in bringing you the star of our show, it gives me great pleasure to bring you a man.
Just a minute, Don. Don, hold it a minute.
What?
Don, today, instead of you introducing me, I'm going to introduce you.
Me?
Yes, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, today not only marks the anniversary of Don Wilson's 25th year in radio, but it also commemorates his 16th year with me. So, Don, take a bow.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. And, Jack, I want you to know that you're the nicest man.
No, wait a minute, Don. Wait a minute. This day is yours. Today we will all pay homage to you. When I say we, I mean the entire cast. Your slightest wish will be our command. Whatever you... Don, you're crying.
I can't help it, Jack.
The way those tears are running between your chins, it looks like you're irrigating something. Now, Don, please stop sniffling.
But I'm all right now. I just couldn't help getting emotional when I realized that you've been with me for 16 years.
No, Don. Don, you've been with me.
To think that I came on this show when it was down, and because of my
personality... When it was down?
And because of my personality and showmanship, I raised it to the pinnacle of success.
Don.
It wasn't easy. The hurdles were many. There were battles to be fought. But I faced them and brought us through to ultimate victory.
I don't know. To hear him talk, you think I was the Navy and he was the Air Force. Don, as far as my program is concerned, you have a lot of nerve making statements like that.
All right, wait a minute, Jackson. I heard what Donzie said, and I think he's right.
Do I hear a voice from the peroxide counter at Rexall?
Hmm? You heard me, Duncan.
Duncan?
You want to go back to Clyde?
No. Duncan is all right. Duncan is all right. Duncan is all right. I don't mind.
You're going to settle for Dunk, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sure.
Well, listen, Duncan. Don came with this program when it was down, and he brought it all
now,
the way
up. Now, just a minute,
to...
Phil. Wait a minute. Hold it a minute. The only time this program was down was when we broadcast from under a table for your convenience. Those were the most uncomfortable 13 weeks I've ever spent.
Yeah, and you can stop with that too, Jackson, because it may interest you to know that I, Phil Harris, after due deliberation, have decided to go on the water wagon.
Phil? Phil, you mean you've really given up drinking?
Yes, sir. Just one martini a day.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Phil, if you're on the wagon, you're not supposed to take even one drink a day.
Jackson, my stomach is like a steel mill. You can shut it down, but don't let the fire go out.
You can stop drinking now and your stomach will smolder for the next 20 years. Believe me.
Okay, Jackson. Now you've had your little fun. But since today is Don's silver anniversary in radio, the boys in my band have got something for him. Here it is, Donzel.
Well, gee, thanks, Phil.
What is it, Don? What is it?
Oh, wait till I unwrap it.
Oh.
Oh, Jack, look at this. A diamond-studded cigarette lighter.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it, Donald. My boys went through a lot of trouble to get it.
Well, Phil, that's a beautiful lighter your boys got for Don, but you'd think it could be wrapped a little better. Who did it?
The owner of the store.
The owner of the store? I could have wrapped it better than that.
Not with your hands up over your head.
Phil! Phil, you mean your boys held up a jewelry store?
Well, it was an accident. When they walked into the store, Remley had his guitar under his coat. The guy thought it was a machine gun, threw up his hands, and says, take anything you want.
Well, that's still dishonest. Frankie should have opened his coat and showed the jeweler that it wasn't a gun.
Oh, Frankie did better than that. He took out his guitar, started to play, and the guy said, look, you got what you want. Stop torturing.
Well, that I can understand. Anyway, oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. I'm sorry I was late, but I was baking this cake. It's for Don Wilson's anniversary.
Oh.
Well, that's sweet of you, Mary. I appreciate it.
Say, there's some writing on the cake, too. Read it, Mary.
Okay. To Don Wilson, this cake is topped with chocolate cream. The middle is filled with jelly. But if you eat it all at once, you'll get a pain in your stomach.
Mary, stomach doesn't rhyme with jelly.
Go argue with a censor.
Oh, yes.
And, Don, I do want to congratulate you on this occasion. You must be very proud.
Oh, I am, Mary. It gives me great satisfaction to think that 16 years ago, I took this program when it was down. And by my personality...
It wasn't down! My program was always popular, and I can prove it. Mary, what was my Hooper rating when I first went in radio?
XVI.
XVI?
They were using Roman numerals then.
What are you talking about? I went on the air about the same time as Mr. Anthony.
I know, but Cleopatra was with him.
Cleopatra, Cleopatra. You know, Mary, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, girl who punch joke on radio, soon punch clock at May Company. Now, just remember that, will you? Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat? Dennis, Halloween isn't until tomorrow. You're a day early.
I am?
Certainly.
Oh, boy, will my mother have the laugh on me.
Why?
I put a snake in her girdle.
A snake in her girdle? Dennis, that doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does. It was a garter snake.
Dennis, for a kid who's fortunate enough to have two heads, why do you always leave the good one at home?
It's rehearsing my other show.
Now stop! You see, Mary, you can't talk to that kid without getting a silly answer.
Well, look, Jack, if you don't want any more crazy answers, just tell him to sing his song and that's all.
I wouldn't tell him a thing. You tell him.
Okay. Dennis, it's time for your song. What's it going to be?
Stomach high.
Dennis, that's bally high.
Go argue with the censor.
Will you stop making up jokes? Now, what are you going to sing?
The Last Mile Home.
All right, let's have it.
Oh, you're just mad because I know you're the walking man.
Yeah, yeah. Now, go ahead and sing.
Along this mile is the last mile home. When you've been away, the dearest dreams are the dreams of home. When you've been away, you'll travel far over land and sea. As clear as can be, the sweetest smile you'll ever own is the last mile home. You'll travel far over land and sea. Then one day, it's as clear as can be, the sweetest smile you'll ever own is the last mile home.
Dennis, very nice. But, Dennis, don't you think that since this is Don Wilson's 25th year in radio, you should have dedicated your song to him?
To Don?
Yes, you see, in his honor, we're calling this Don's Day.
Gee, I can hardly wait till I've been in radio 25 years. Then it'll be Dennis Day.
Yeah, yeah. Dennis Day. Now, Don.
Yes, Jack.
In honor of your silver anniversary in radio, I'm going... Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Rochester.
All right, let's take a quick break from the Jack Benny program. More after this 28-second commercial. That's right, Lisa. We're on WGN Radio.
Oh, and don't I know it.
Forget it.
Oh, I won't.
And you know what, folks? We have a podcast for this show. We haven't talked about that in a long time. This show has a podcast that is up minutes after we're done. So if you miss any hour, you know, if Lisa's voice puts you to sleep in any, you know, like does me all the time, make sure that you listen to the podcast.
That was funny.
What's the best way to get to the podcast? What do you do?
Well, I can... tomorrow, I will post it on our Facebook page on WGN.
Yeah, but what if
Facebook.
They don't want to wait till tomorrow?
You can go to WGNradio.com and you can look up WGN Radio Theater, and we have hundreds of podcasts posted there from this one all the way back. Not all the way back. They get archived, but plenty back.
What I do is I go to Google and I just Google. I type in WGN Radio Theater Podcast.
You know, the best thing to do is have the WGN Radio app on your phone is really the easiest way to go.
I can't do that.
That's all pretty difficult.
I don't believe that apps are a real thing, actually.
You're right.
I don't think they really. I think it's a conspiracy.
Again, I think you're right.
It's a giant conspiracy.
You are always
right, actually.
Don't believe
apps are actual things.
Right. But go to WGNradio.com or download the WGN Radio app. Find WGN Radio Theater and check out our podcasts.
Yeah. Tons
and tons.
There's hours and hours. Well, we've done 370-something shows times, let's say, an average of 4 hours, let's just say, because we do... we do 5 hours a week. Let's just, I don't know. That's like well over like 1,400 hours. Did the math in my head.
That was fast.
1,500 hours, maybe. It's a lot of hours, Lisa.
It sure is. Oh, I know.
How have you put up with me for
this
long?
I ask myself that every weekend.
Gosh,
am I going to be able to do it again?
I don't know.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So, Lisa.
Yes, Carl.
I think we should take the show
on the road.
Let's go to like...
Europe?
Yeah, somewhere.
Let's go to London.
Broadcast the show from there and take some of our listeners.
Do you mean local here?
We'll take some listeners with us.
You know, we seriously have to talk about our 4-year...
Oh, when is that?
April, the first weekend of April.
That's coming up. That's next weekend.
It's not next weekend. It's the weekend after. Like 2 weeks from this weekend.
You want a cake?
I'm going to bring you a cake? Not really.
What kind of cake do you want?
We don't want cake. What do you like?
I'll bring you something. It's 4 years?
4 years.
Wait.
It's
so
4 years.
So we're ending 4 years and beginning our fifth year?
Correct.
So it's 4 full years on
the
air?
That's correct. We will start our
fifth
year in 2 weeks.
Do you remember? That was 4 years ago?
Yes.
It seems like it was like 3 3/4 years
ago. Yeah, well, pretty much that's what it was.
It seemed like it was 4 full years
ago. Isn't that crazy?
I remember us going, we're going on WGN.
We were jumping. I remember when you called me, we were talking.
I said, I'm not kidding now. Are you sitting down?
You did.
We're going to go on WGN Radio.
Well, I had gotten it all set up for us, but I wasn't completely clear on when
was
the starting date.
Right.
But we started April 9th, I think it was. Somebody's got to get things done around here.
That was over four years. Well,
yes.
It was 4 years ago.
It was.
Well, what are we going to do to celebrate?
Exactly.
The beginning of our fifth year.
I know. We need to do something more than stop at Jewel on the way over.
Cake. Well, not Jewel.
I don't want cake.
How dare you say that when Woodman's is one of our main sponsors?
I was just joking. I don't want a cake.
Woodman's has better
cake. All we do is complain. We eat too much sugar, so let's come up with a different plan.
I need to go on a diet.
I'm done with this stuff.
Gosh.
We're going to have to come up with something.
I need to be on a diet.
It can't be all about the food. We're going to have to come up with something that's more exciting.
How can I lose weight faster? What do I do?
Well,
stop eating. It's like in that movie. There's a movie. This guy's like, I need to lose weight. I can't remember what he said. He's like,
clearly you've already messed it up.
He said, how do I... I can't.
Okay, anyway.
Something about eat half a sandwich instead of a whole sandwich or something like that.
Something like that.
You know what it is? I love bread. That's my problem.
Yeah, I do
too. I love bread, and I'm Italian, so I love pasta.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
and I love ice cream. And I like candy.
I'm not an ice cream fan.
So I like candy. Oh, I love ice cream.
I like chocolate.
You know what I really like? Frozen yogurt. That's good.
I like frozen yogurt. Frozen, it's got to be chocolate, good. Though. Everything has to be chocolate.
Oh, yeah, chocolate.
Nothing,
for sure.
Nothing is as good
My
as
son
chocolate.
And I will go to dinner, and then we go and have frozen yogurt.
I do that, too, but here's the problem.
So good.
I get chocolate frozen yogurt, but you know what I
is
put
that
on
less
top? Chocolate chips.
Oh, don't do that. Don't put anything
that's
on
what
there.
I'm, no, it doesn't taste as good without the chips, sir. M&M's or something delicious.
No,
on top.
That's it, you can't
it.
Do that.
I know.
Just eat the frozen yogurt. Is the frozen yogurt less calories
than
ice cream?
It is.
You know what? Ice cream is the best ice cream on the
planet. I don't
planet.
Like ice cream much.
Haagen-Dazs.
I bet it is.
Oh my goodness.
You know what's good? And it's really like, junky.
All I have to do is think of Haagen-Dazs, and I get happy.
I like to get
and fatter.
What do you get, a Dairy Queen with the mix-ins? When you mix in the chocolate with the M&M's, you get
I don't do that. I don't mix
darn it,
any.
What's that called?
I don't,
you get
Blizzard?
A Blizzard.
Yeah.
Like
I don't
a Blizzard.
Get that. You know what? Let me tell
I
you
like
something.
A Blizzard.
A Dairy Queen. They
Blizzard.
Make the greatest sundae, like a
I don't like
banana
sundaes.
Split.
I don't like that.
They make the best. In fact, you're making me want a banana split
I
right now.
I don't like sundaes.
Is Dairy Queen open at 2 in the morning?
I don't know. I want a Blizzard now.
Blizzard?
Thanks a lot.
Well, spring's on the way, so
okay.
You're going to have to wait till next.
Okay.
All right, we're listening to Jack Benny. Let's go back to October 30th, 1949 for the conclusion.
Rochester, what do you want?
I got bad news for you, boss.
Bad news?
Yeah, the man who sold you the yacht was here to collect the $50,000.
Rochester, I wrote him a letter and told him I'm not going to pay for that yacht.
I guess that's why the other man was with him.
What other man?
The man who was carrying the briefcase for the other man.
Other man? You mean there were three of them?
Four.
Four? Were they lawyers?
I think so. Their names were Habeas Corpus, Delecti, and Schwartz.
What?
You'll hear them all on CBS this fall.
Rochester, stop beating around the bush and tell me what happened after you met these lawyers.
Well, they mean business, boss. You'll either have to pay the money or go to jail. They left a summons for you.
A summons? Read it to me.
Well, it starts off, the party of the first part, the Colonial Yacht Company, hereby contends that Jack Benny, the party of the second part, committed fraud, deceit, and trickery with criminal intent.
Oh, my goodness.
Then the rest of the page is filled with a lot of legal talk I don't understand. Ending with, whereas, in such case, consult the schedule on the other side.
What's the schedule on the other side?
Visiting hours.
Rochester, this is serious. Are the men still there?
No, they left about 2 hours ago.
Then why didn't you call me sooner?
I was busy packing your clothes.
What?
You find some seasick pills in your pocket.
Seasick pills?
It may be Alcatraz. They ain't gonna take you on the Queen Mary.
This whole thing is ridiculous. Nobody's sending me to jail, and don't call me again unless it's important. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What was that all about, Jack?
Oh, nothing, nothing. It's that yacht company trying to frighten me. Now, where were we?
We were talking about my anniversary.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction tonight, we... Come in.
Hi, Jack.
Well, look who's here. Frank Sinatra.
Say, I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Not at all, Frank. Not at all.
It's good to see you,
Frank. It certainly is, Frank.
Yes, we feel quite honored.
What do you need him for when you got me?
Dennis, believe me, the fact that Sinatra's here is no reflection on your ability.
It isn't, Mr. Benny?
No, kid. You see, I'm glad Sinatra's here because he's one of the greatest singers in the country.
Frank, I was supposed to read that.
I know, Jack, but when I see a line like that in the script, I like to stroke it a while.
Oh.
So he's one of the greatest singers in the country, huh?
Yes, he is.
How many shows has he got?
One.
Ha! Dennis, be quiet. Tell me, Frank, when did you get back from the East?
Last week, Jack. I would have been back a little sooner, but I was on one of those local trains, and it stopped at every town.
Oh.
Going through New Jersey, we stopped at Newark, Passaic, Red Bank, Plainfield, Elizabeth,
Hohoke.
Yes?
If you stopped in Plainfield, maybe you saw my sister, Babe.
No, I didn't, Mary. In fact, I didn't even get off at Plainfield. We just stopped there for 5 minutes to take on a new engineer.
That was Babe.
Oh. Oh, then that explains it.
Explains what?
It's the first time I ever saw a pair of overalls with a plunging neckline.
Look, I'm sure there are other things that we can discuss besides the adventures of Casey Livingston.
I'm sorry.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you, how do you feel since you came home from the hospital?
Oh, I'm fine now, Frank. Really okay.
I'm glad to hear that. But you know, you'll never have to go to the hospital again if you take care of yourself like I do.
Like you do?
Well, yes, Jack. My system of keeping healthy is very simple. I get up bright and early every morning, take 15 minutes of exercise, and then they bring me a large glass of orange juice. What a workout.
Workout? Drinking a glass of orange juice?
Who drinks it? I swim in it.
Oh.
And getting around those seeds is murder.
I wouldn't know.
Yes, sir. And then I take 10 minutes of deep breathing exercises. That's the way I've developed my chest to what it is today, you know.
Oh, I see. I see. And Frankie, what is your chest measurement normally?
34 inches.
And what is it expanded?
32.
Wait, now, how come your chest is 2 inches smaller when it's expanded?
I don't know. I must have a slow leak somewhere.
Well, that I can't understand at all, including my lead line there.
Oh, slowly. Oh, that's funny.
Now,
oh, that's very funny.
Now, Moby Dick.
Moby Dick? That's no way to talk to me after I took this program when it was down.
It wasn't down. I was a big success all over New York, Chicago, and they loved me in St. Joe.
And they're crazy about me in Czechoslovakia.
Yes, I read about it.
Anyway, Jack, you shouldn't be so hard on Don. After all, he is celebrating his silver anniversary in radio.
That's besides the point, Frank. Say, how'd you know this was his silver anniversary?
Why wouldn't I know? Don's the announcer on my program, Light Up Time.
That's right, Jack. I broadcast with Frankie 5 times a week.
Gosh, Frank, I didn't realize you were on 5 times a week. A half hour each program?
No, 15 minutes.
Ha! Dennis, keep quiet! Frank, as long as you're here, would you like to take part in a little play that I wrote based on the life of Don Wilson?
Why, it'd be peachy. What part will I play?
Well, you can be Don's father, and Mary, you're going to be Don's mother.
Gee, that means I'm Frankie's wife.
That's right.
See, that's wonderful. I always wanted an engineer for a sister-in-law.
Yeah, just, now come on, let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Don Wilson's 25th year in radio, we're going to present a play based on his life. The Don Wilson Story, or Life Can Be Plentiful. Curtain. Music. Our story opens in Denver, Colorado, many years ago. The stork has just delivered a precious bundle to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Donald C. Wilson, Sr. The mother happily whispers to the father,
"Darling, it's a boy."
And the proud father said,
"Yes, aren't we lucky? The stork brought us a boy."
And the stork said,
"Oh, my aching back."
As the proud parents leaned over the crib looking at their newborn son, the baby said, 3 days later, the baby said,
"I want a T-bone steak."
He was developing slowly. The next day, a friendly neighbor dropped in to see this little bundle of joy.
"Hey, you must be the happiest couple in Denver. Let me see the little fellow."
There he is in his crib. Isn't he a chubby baby?
Ooh, is he?
The next day, another neighbor dropped in, and the mother said,
"Don't you think we have a cute baby?"
And the following day, the sister-in-law dropped in. She couldn't stop. She was taking a fast freight to Frisco. Later that evening, the proud father was trying to put little Donald to sleep.
Now, come on, baby. Company's gone, and it's Betty Bye time. Now, baby, stop that. Baby, stop.
Baby, put me down.
You better let me have him, dear.
All right, darling.
Now, Donald, close your little eyes and Mommy will sing you to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. If the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come Donald, Denver and all. Look, dear, he's asleep.
When Donald was 6 years old, he sent him to school. The teacher looked up at him and said,
"And now I'd like you children to recite the alphabet. Donald Wilson, you go first.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K."
That's correct, Donald.
The teacher used to work for the Board of Education. The years passed quickly, and Don graduated from college, magna cum laude. He went out to seek his fortune in radio. It was tough for him to get a job. First, he applied to that famous comedian, Fred Allen.
"I think this is the street Mr. Allen lives on. I'll try this house."
"Howdy, Bob."
"Pardon me, sir, but I'm looking for Fred Allen."
"You mean the fellow who's as corny as Kansas in August?"
"Yes."
"Never heard of him."
He tried the next door.
"Ah, what's going on here? Now, what do you do to that? Ah, how do you do? How do you do?"
"Well, pardon me, sir, but I'm looking for Fred Allen."
"You mean that fellow with the blarney stone under each eye?"
"Yes."
"Never heard of him."
He tried the next door.
"Yes."
"Pardon me, sir. Are you Fred Allen?"
"I would answer that, but I have no place to put all the prizes." "Goodbye, son."
Don didn't get the job, but he never stopped trying. He was driven on by ambition, perseverance, tenacity, and Schwartz. They were his agents. So next day, he went to see another big star of that era.
"Do you think you can use me on your radio program, Mr. Jolson?"
"Ah."
Then Donald left New York and came to Hollywood to seek his fortune. Babe drove him out. When Donald arrived in Hollywood, he lost no time in making an appointment with the greatest comedian that the world has ever known. A star whose position in the entertainment world has never been challenged. It was with fear and trepidation that Don went to the home of this great, great star. "Yes?" "What can I do for you?"
"Are you Jack Benny, the greatest comedian the world has ever known? The star whose position in the entertainment world has never been challenged?"
"Ooh, am I?"
So Don Wilson came to work for me, and he has been my announcer ever since. This made his father so happy that he flew out from Denver, climbed up on Don's knee, and sang...
"And when it came to winning blue ribbons, I knew you'd show the other kids how. With your voice so strong and clear, we're so glad that you are here. So stand right up and take a bow.
Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause Don Z, look at you now.
I'll lift your option.
Don Z, look at you now.
Ladies and gentlemen, every year, fires that start through carelessness lay waste to approximately 30 million acres of timberland. Help prevent the shocking destruction of our forests. Be careful with matches, and when you smoke, never discard a match or cigarette without putting it out. Help fight fires. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Jack Benny Program, October 30th, 1949. Don Wilson celebrating his 25th anniversary in radio. Frank Sinatra making a guest appearance on that program. Hope you enjoyed that.